Okay. So I was asked to give a shiur last minute. So it's a different kind of shiur. I don't have much prepared, or much sources prepared. Just somehow we were having a conversation with Rabbi Zimmer last week, and we had an idea or two or three or four. And I just thought maybe you could make a discussion about it. And we'll see where it goes. Could take anywhere between 5 minutes and multiple hours, but you know, I said the short version to Lisa the other night, and I told her, you know, she asked what I was going to give on. I told her in like 5 minutes. I'm like, she's like, so what do you do for your shiur? I said, I'm going to do that. I said I can do that in an hour, you know, or more. She said, no, you can't. So we'll see what happens. It's a little challenge we have going on. See how long it could take. But the short version of it is, it was probably less than 5 minutes, but whatever. So it's not really, it wasn't really, you know, the discussion didn't begin in a source, but it ends up in a source. So I mean, the sources, I guess you could say loosely, is Se Toras Lakeva, Lach Techa Roy, which is funny because she just reminded me I gave a share of it a few years ago on that Rambam. Just this morning. I say Torah Chakeva, you should make your Torah set and your Malacha Aroi. Malacha, like whatever Aroi means, but you know, I don't know how you translate it exactly. Haphazard, passing, whatever, not set. Or another maybe phrase you could tie it to is the idea of like Kovia Yitim LaTorah. Kavate, there's a Gemara that says that's one of the things they ask you when you die, did you Kovia Yitim LaTorah? So, you know, again, I'm just kind of stuffing the idea into whatever sources. It's not, didn't originate out of sources, but, you know. So, the question, the topic is basically, is like, how should a person relate to learning? Or how should learning be a part of a person's life? Okay?
Oh, that's definitely a 5 minute question.
Yeah. And why? And why? Okay? So, I'll describe for you two models of I guess people or lives and the role Torah has in them, and then it will probably be obvious which one I think is a better model, but you know, the different models, they have their pros and cons, and we'll discuss, you know, arguments for or against and see what we come up with, you know. Okay. So the first model is basically a guy who likes to learn. Okay. He likes learning, maybe even sometimes he'd say he loves learning, okay? And he tries to learn whenever he could, when he gets a chance, whenever he could, when he has time, when he feels like it, when he, whatever, you know. Yeah, sounds good. The other guy is a guy who values learning, and he likes learning. And he doesn't just try to learn when he gets around to it or he gets a chance, but he's like, maybe this is what the Mishnah means of, you know, Gemara, Kovei Yitim LaTorah. Or, yeah, maybe you could call it Aseh Machtcha, to say Toras Chakeva. But basically what he does is he sets for himself some sort of a schedule whereby it's not just that he learns when he feels like it or when he's in the mood, but he has a Seder. Maybe be it morning Seder, be it afternoon Seder, be it night Seder. Is a chavrusa that he learned with at X time, you know, every day or 2 days a week, whatever it is, once a week, whatever it is. I don't know. He has a schedule. He doesn't just learn when he feels like it. And again, the guy who's learning when he feels like it may not be learning that infrequently. I don't mean a guy who like never learns, but there's a certain type of an attitude, you know, certain type of a guy who doesn't really like schedules and doesn't really want to like have a, you know, that type of a thing. And he just kind of could say, look, I'm a Lishma kind of a guy, and I'm not going to be bound, I don't want to be bound to a schedule. That's what, like, in high school, we have schedules. But now I just learn, I like learning, so I learn when I have time, when I'm in the mood, when I, whatever. And the other guy basically sets up Havrusas, sets up Shir, sets up a time, different times, which he basically fixes that, let's say, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock every night, he's learning with so-and-so guy. And he basically does it every night. Let's say, or whatever. It doesn't have to be every night. The particular isn't specific. It doesn't matter. It could be Monday, Wednesday nights. It could be Tuesday nights. It could be whatever. But let's just say it's every night. And what he does is basically that's what he does every night. Every night, 8 to 9, is his time where he's going to learn at the Chavrusa. Now, it doesn't mean he never ever misses it, but basically, it takes something, an event, to cause it to be missed. It's not something which he takes lightly. He's not just surfing the internet by during that time, and he's not about to go down. It's basically, he needs like a real reason not to do it. You know, and there's, I guess, varying degrees of like what's considered a real reason, but whatever. But it's like kavua. This is my kavua for learning, and he has a schedule for himself. Okay? And of course, these are extreme guys. One guy now doesn't have any schedule whatsoever. He just learns whenever he's in the mood. The other guy, everything, every minute of his day is scheduled, and, you know, whatever. But obviously, there's various degrees within between. Okay?
So it's fair to assume that the guy who has a schedule is practically learning more than the other guy?
Well, then maybe. That's up for discussion. Okay. That's up for discussion. I'm just more picking a model. You know, one could argue that's part of what we have to discuss. Will he or will he not? That's, you know, one may try to argue the other guy will be learning more. I don't know, whatever. That's, you know, but I'm more talking a very loose model. The model of someone who's is should we be fixing schedules or should we be setting up fixed things or should we kind of like, you know, go with the flow, that type of a thing, you know?
You don't want to say both also?
What?
You don't want to say both?
I don't want to say both?
Yeah, that's also not an option.
No, both is an option. Some people, you know, you could have, like, morning Seder is fixed and the rest of the day is floating. You know, or morning and afternoon is fixed and night is floating. They're definitely, you know, I'm not saying they're not mutually exclusive. I'm just picking extremes. But that's a fair solution to say that there's a, you know, middle ground. But it's easier to analyze in the extremes, you know. What we actually implement, you know, might be, you know, maybe some sort of a middle ground anyways, you know. Yeah, but I like to just talk about it in a certain extreme way. You know, just it helps for the purpose of analysis. But so, the question is, I guess, what could we identify? I guess pros and or cons of each of any either of these given methods. So, Sammy.
Now that I'm thinking about it. Sounds like it depends on the guy. Like, let's say the guy was just. I wanted to say that a pro of setting these times of being co-aidant is that practically you're just going to get a lot more done.
Okay.
So, like, I was thinking about school. Like the amount of stuff that I learned this semester, just. It's interesting stuff, but I would have never done it to this extent, I wouldn't have this amount of knowledge. I mean, like, it's facts, like facts and knowledge, but I wouldn't have this amount of knowledge in my head if I wasn't pressed to do it.
Right.
You know? But, like, I do know other people that just, you know, just do these things. They just,
mm-hmm.
This is what they like, and this is what they do, and it doesn't matter if it's tests or not.
Okay.
I guess that could be a pro, they're doing more, but.
Okay. Okay, but test is like a little bit of a separate point because you may have that guy who does it without tests might also be covetant to doing whatever he does, just he doesn't need the pressure of a test to do it.
You mean like he sits down even though he doesn't want to?
No, he wants to. He wants to. He just has a schedule. He just has something set.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'm saying, like, but I...
But then there's a guy who just totally is like Efker, but he just does his stuff because this is what he does.
This is what he does, yeah. This
okay.
Is what he does.
Okay, fine.
I don't know.
You mean you know people like that?
Yeah. Like, my brother just reads history books, like textbooks, over and over. He just likes it. Weird.
This is an aside. Did you know that?
You know what I'm saying? Like, those kinds of things.
I understand.
So we'll do that.
Okay. Okay. Well, do you think learning is the same as history books in that regard, or is it? I mean, or is your schooling the same as history books? This question is like, are they necessarily the same, or is there a difference, or is learning Torah the same or different or whatever?
What
I mean, I know someone who sits and watches TV all the time because that's just what he does. You know? but you'd say is like that's not necessarily comparable to learning Torah because my brother watches plays video games all the time, it doesn't mean therefore learning that's a model for learning. So maybe history books isn't the same thing either. You know, the fact that he has someone who has a hobby that always does something, which is sort of involves reading, doesn't necessarily mean it's the same. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but it's worth that. It's worth questioning that the comparison.
I guess it's a little different. It's a passive activity. Like basketball would be comparable.
Playing basketball.
Yeah, like you're not going to get good unless you play.
Okay. And you have a set time.
It depends on the guy. Like, some guys are like, yeah, I got a set time, I'm going to come in every day,
okay,
or something like that.
Okay.
Well, actually, I guess you're right. No one, like, plays basketball every day because they want to get good. Like, going to the gym. Like, all right, I go every day, not a blah, 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 blah. I guess you're right.
Oh, I'm not saying anything. I don't know. It can't be right. I don't even know what I hold yet.
Okay, I guess then I agree with that.
With what?
That point in general. That the guy who's not setting times for himself is just not going to be doing as much as the other guy who is setting times. Which is a general thing. Of anything active.
Okay.
I think just like a point about setting times, like I find that people who set times about certain things place a certain chashivas on the thing, like,
okay,
certainly when someone cares about something, they really do set aside a time for it. Like, even if they know I'm going to be learning, I'm going to be playing basketball from 9 to 10, whether
right.
I set aside a time
right.
for it or not, like,
well,
you know, whenever I have a break, when
uh-huh.
they set up, people who care about things will set aside time for that thing.
Okay.
And then it enhances it, and then it adds
mm-hmm.
the
Shibas
in the
future,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Circular, but.
Right. Right. Yeah. Good circular, though.
Yeah,
I'm
just saying it's an
okay.
indicator.
I understand.
Okay. What's it called?
Feedback loop?
Maybe the method. I don't know. The psychology.
Recursive?
Like,
I don't
know. You know this.
What?
It's a psychological term where, like, you do something and then it, like, goes back on itself.
A feedback loop or something? Or?
It's like
that kind
like
of thing.
I project that you hate me.
Self-fulfilling.
And therefore you do hate me because you recognize me.
Self-fulfilling prophecy?
Yeah, self-fulfilling prophecy.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else?
What are we asking about?
Pros and cons.
Pros and cons.
Pros and cons. Do different things.
Con is that sometimes it the pro of the guy who's not setting any time is that everything that he's doing is at his leisure. It's pretty good. But a guy who's not, the guy who's setting times, like so you're in a certain amount of pain, it does suck to
you get boggled down, a little tired or aggravated by it.
Yeah, right. You get aggravated by schedule. Just sort of like,
you mean there's a stress involved in the fact that you have to do it at a certain time.
Yeah,
it affects your quality of...
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a time where he's not so interested in learning right now, he's going to have to force himself to.
Right.
The other guy, his learning's maybe always the schmuck.
Right. Yeah, every time he learns. Every time he learns, it's
he
always
has that just he's fulfilling his desire to learn.
Right. There's never a time where it sucks. Pretty good.
But that might be a bad thing. In other words, you might say, oh, it's going to suck, I'm going to do it anyways. That's
I mean,
like,
it might also keep your,
just
in terms of the guy who doesn't have
pain.
Schedule, it keeps your value of Torah on a higher level, maybe. Because, like, you never see it negatively, ever. You're always seeing it positively.
It's Batala Lishma.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good one. I like that.
That's the new excuse.
That's right. I can't get to say that now. It's good for my learning. I'm trying to become a shma.
I'm waiting. I'm just sitting in my room waiting for myself to whine. I can't wait for myself to whine.
That's right. The four times I learned last year, it was awesome. I loved it.
And there's also like a sort of psychological, I don't know if this is the type of guy that you're talking about, but when you don't set times for things, like, it could be a certain type of guy. Maybe this is what Sam was talking about, like, a guy who's like, anytime I have a free time, I'm gonna learn. If a guy's really like that pushed, like,
yeah.
It'll also be whether I like it or not, I'm gonna learn at any time I have. And
yeah.
Like, sometimes when you set a time, you can be like boxed in. You'll see a guy who's like got 15 minutes till Seder. It'll be like, 15 minutes, I can't learn. Like, I can't learn till Seder. All right, 15 minutes, do whatever I want.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like just sort of a psychological like
mm-hmm.
issue,
yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
I don't think
whatever.
A guy who does that would have that issue, though. feel like it'd be less likely.
Say a guy who sets times won't have that issue.
No, a guy who doesn't set his times won't have that issue.
That's my point.
Okay.
A guy who doesn't set his times won't have the issue of, oh, I have 15 minutes till this, so I might as well just waste the time doing something else. But a guy who sets a time will say, like, night stand is not till, like, I would see this in Israel all the time. Like, there'd be, night stand would be at 8, and, like, dinner's till 8 or whatever, and they would be like, I got 25 minutes, like, I just have to do something else. I couldn't go to the basement just till the time of the thing. It was, like, ridiculous. But, like, that would be the the mindset, like.
Right.
I don't know if that's, like, a real reason to not do it. Maybe just be he's an idiot, but, like.
Very nice.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I basically have I think the Kaveh one is a better approach. Okay, and I want to present four arguments in favor.
For which one?
For the schedule, for setting a time. Okay, maybe there are, maybe you'll knock some of them off, or maybe there are counter arguments, but it's just, just in thinking about it, I came up with a few different points. The first one is like this, and the first one is related to what you're talking about. And I think there's something counterintuitive about this point, which is what you guys said, is that you think that the guy who makes a schedule, for him, he resents the learning, and the other guy really enjoys it. But I think that perhaps sometimes it's the opposite. In a certain sense, I think it's the opposite. Okay? And I think the point is like this, is this is an interesting point, is that, and it will tie into the explain the failure of the Blagos here, because of this point. Okay?
I assume that's where this conversation came about.
No, I just noticed it. No, I just see. I don't know if you know what it is, but we had a blog on Blagoshir, whatever. I'll get to it. But basically, the thing is like this. I think, what's the hardest part of learning? What's the hardest part of learning?
Pain.
Which pain?
Getting the start.
Not knowing.
Yeah. No.
Sitting down to do it. Yeah.
Starting. The beginning. Because, see, when learning's fun, I think we all have had the experience of learning being fun and enjoyable and all that, right? But the thing is that somehow we forget. When we go into our world of whatever it is that we're doing, be it on the internet, be it hanging out with the guys, be it eating, being whatever it is we do, so our energies go towards the other world, okay, the world of your instincts or whatever it is. And at that moment, it's like you've kind of sort of, it's not on your mind, the enjoyment of learning, and you have to pull your energy out of whatever you're doing and sit down and start learning. And you'll notice that's hard. That's why we always come late to Seder or whatever. And the first few minutes of a Seder, or whatever, and it takes time until you like get momentum to actually get into it. And then once you get into it, it's fun and it's enjoyable and you kind of get into it. But it's like the extricating your energies from the whatever you're involved in is hard, painful, resistance. That's the hardest part. Okay? And that was the idea. It's like, I'll talk about the Bhagavad-gita point now, but like that was kind of what we thought. Is like, with Rabbi Zimmer and I, we thought of part of the problem nowadays, guys don't sit and learn, the internet. So we had this idea is to make a blog, a shir, which is basically a shir, which guys could, we put on these shorter piece posts, which would basically have facts, have svara, have this, and that, short little pieces, And a guy could basically, throughout the day, he could go to the thing, he could read the piece, then he could make comments, then he could go back, check other comments, and this, and back and forth. And maybe a guy can't be koveya an hour a day to learn, or 2 hours a day to learn, but maybe he'd be koveya 5 minutes a day to learn, and then 5 minutes later, and then 5 minutes later, and a few minutes here, a few minutes there, a few minutes there. And he ends up really learning as if, like, a guy who doesn't have the capacity, the time, the ability, the whatever, to sit and learn for an hour, maybe you could do it in bits. Like, that's kind of the modern mind that works that way, that we surf, and we this, and we multitask, and whatever. So maybe you just do a share like that. You could do it at your pace, at your leisure, a few minutes here, a few minutes there, a few minutes there. But the model didn't really work. I mean, some people are into it and whatever, but it didn't work. And we realized afterwards, I think one of the failures or one reason why the model isn't really good is because the hardest part of learning is the starting to learn. And basically, this model, it forces you, basically, all you're learning is the startings to learn. So, you know, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here. So basically you end up having to keep starting to learn again. So it's like you never get momentum. So it's like you never, it's like the hardest part is to be able to be kavei yourself. So if you have an erech of rusa, the first few minutes is painful and then you could coast. But here, it's like you never get to coast. So it's like, it just, there's too much resistance. People don't, it's just don't keep it up. That's not like learning in that type of a way. Is like you, we're like increasing the amount of times that you have to pull your energy away and get into the sugya. But learn, it just doesn't work that way. Like you just can't get into learning that quickly. You could get into, you could go one internet site to another site to another site to another site to another, but that's because you don't have resistance doing those things. Maybe you could go to history books and you could do that stuff that like kind of, you know, it's more, it's like more emotionally pleasing. But like to like get your mind out of your world, of your emotional world, and sit down and to focus on a sugya or whatever it is a certain amount of pain involved in that process. And that's difficult. And there's a big resistance to doing that. Now the question, are you with me so far? Mm-hmm. Now the question is, how do you remove that? So I think, how do you avoid that? So one thing is you could just realize that this is the way you go, this is what happens. You get fooled. And the reason why you're resisting it is because you think it's going to be painful, but it's not true. Once you start it, it's no big deal. So like one thing is like the pain is a fantasy of how painful it's going to be, or you know, you kind of forget that it's enjoyable. But if you kind of can remember that, you can kind of get yourself, you know, there's one route. But another route I think is like this, is this very question of the Kovei Item versus the haphazard guy. So it's like, if you have a schedule, let's say at 8 o'clock every night you learn. So you don't have to decide at 8 o'clock whether I'm going to learn. See, I think it's the decision which is so painful. Am I going to learn tonight or not? Oh, I shouldn't. It's going to be good. It's going to be hard. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. It's like, that's like the, you know, if you know you've got to do something, you know, it's almost like the difference of like, you know, like pulling off a mandate or, you know, or something like that, or just jumping into a cold pool or, you know, I don't know if those are good examples, but the idea is like, if you have to like every day make a decision, should I learn tonight? Should I not learn tonight? I'm like, oh no, sort of, you know, that's the painful part of the thing. You know, that's part of like, you draw out the thing and you don't have it fixed. So it's kind of whenever you're in the mood. So like, yeah, the day that you're in the mood or whatever is whatever, but it's just in general, your day-to-day learning, even if that guy learns as often as the other guy, it's like each time he has to make that new decision, I'm going to learn now. And that's a painful thing. And it increases, there's a lot of stress and anxiety involved in the conflict involved in that decision. As opposed to a person who decides in advance that I want to learn it every day at 8 o'clock and I have a Seder and this is what I do. And at 8 o'clock I do it. So it's not like he has to make a decision again. Am I going to learn? So like, it's like he already decided. So yes, he does have to stop what he's doing and start doing it. But I think like part of the fact that it's like a maybe, it allows your emotions to pull on you in a stronger type of a way, and it makes that extricating yourself that much more painful. It's harder to do. It's harder to do. First of all, it's harder that you're going to fail. I think you're not going to learn as much. That's the other point. Besides the pain, you're not going to learn as much because every time you have to make a new decision. And each decision, it's a tough decision. And you're going to lose that decision a lot of the time just because it's a battle. And it's a painful battle, so it's easier just to give in. As opposed to if you think it through in advance and you realize, I want to be learning for whatever reason. Now, this is when I'm going to learn. Then you don't have to decide again every day. You already decided. This is what I do. I have a chavrusa. And if I don't, I know that my decision was. Unless I have a super duper good excuse, then I'm not going to cancel it. So this is the thing. So now you don't have you're going to do it more regularly, and you're not going to have the pain of having to decide to do it. It's like decisions are like harder to do. Every day you're going to have to make a new decision, but the decision is kind of conflicted, stressful, painful. Yeah.
Two things. First of all, like, an argument for that is that I noticed for myself, like, in terms of chakras, like, obviously, I try really hard to get the chakras in my first years in yeshiva. Like, that was always what it was. Like, I wake up in the morning and make a decision, do I go
right.
or not?
Yeah,
and, like, I would never go. I would never keep going. Like, it would never work. Until I was like, okay, every night I'm going to set my alarm before I go to bed. That's,
right.
like, I'm going no matter what. So
right.
That was the sort of decision. Right. You don't have to decide when you wake up.
Right, exactly. Right, exactly. You already decided every day you're doing it, and that's it, and now you don't have that pain.
Yeah,
but that's like an agonizing type of a decision every day. To have to make that decision each day, it's like painful, it's agonizing, you feel bad, you have guilt, you have this, you have that, and like you want to do it, and there's nothing wrong with doing it every day. It's something you want to do. It's just like, why do you have to, if you could decide today that I want to do it every day, why do you have to go through the pain of making the decision every single day? It's like you have to redo the same decision each time, for sure.
But
yeah.
The thing is, though, that on the other side of it,
yeah,
there is a sort of like really like human, I don't know how to say it, like really like human free will type of thing about like, I don't know if this is possible for a guy, and I guess maybe the benefits of being able to learn more will outweigh this. It sounds like that's what you're saying. But like, to be able to decide every day and redefine yourself, it's like, I'm a guy who's doing this.
Right.
I'm making a decision. Like, that's a really like
right.
meaningful thing. I think it like, so yeah, it's more meaningful to learn for the hour, like, and I would agree with you. But
yeah,
like,
it's true, but it's risky. It's risky. I mean, yeah, and then he can meaningfully every day define himself the other way. And then he's like, it's like a nice theory, but it's like, why, if you decide that this is what you want, then define yourself, isn't it a rational thing to define yourself, do yourself once? And I mean, there's an idea of revising and rethinking your life and rethinking what you're going to do, but it's like, it makes investments. You're going to make a whole sketch, think the whole thing through, make a plan, as a portfolio, and then tomorrow, then just throw it all and start again and redo it again. It's just, there's an idea of like thinking something through when you're, especially, you can think it through when you're not in bed rolling around to sleep. That's not necessarily the best time to make these decisions, is when your emotions are, you know,
right,
are aroused, so to speak, depending on the thing. Is you could divide, you know, make, think it through when you're in a cool state of mind, then you could, make a decision.
Right.
I just think those are stressful, conflicting things, which involve anxiety and pain and guilt and whatever. The decisions themselves, I don't think we hold the total that a person should be make new decisions to become a tzaddik every day, or new decisions to be. I mean, to make a decision and you live with it, and you think it through. I look at this. Of course, if you're chote, then you do tshuva every day, whatever. But in theory, the model is not to have to become, define yourself, and why should you do that? That's like a certain difficult, agonizing process. Make your decision and go with it. And if it's a good life, then go with it and follow through. You know, and if I think there is an idea that a person could commit, there's this idea, I think, of a kvias, kavata yitim latorah. This is a kvias. And if it's a kvias, then it's just what you do. It's kind of, this is your schedule, and that's what you do. And it's, you don't have the pain. That's the first point, is the pain is minimized. Again, you still have a certain amount. You have to stop what you're doing, whatever. But largely, the pain comes from the fact that it's up in the air every day creates a major type of stress and anxiety, which I think you remove. And I think you'll also learn, practically, you'll end up learning more, right? You'll end up learning more because you're going to end up doing it. The other way is you're just going to end up, you know, half the day is just, instead of learning, surfing the internet or doing whatever else it is that you do during that time, you know?
Agonizing about whether to do.
Yeah, and that's what you should. You shouldn't feel bad, feel guilty, feel this, feel that. It's not like you end up like, hey, happy about it. It just kind of, it's like a, I don't think that's a very comfortable, happy type of a feeling, that, you know, the time where you kind of thought maybe, I'd say there's a time where I decide if I'm going to learn or not. So then, you know, you end up not doing it because you kind of, it's hard to, you have to decide to do it each day. So you end up not doing it. And then how do you feel then? It's just not, it's not a very good feeling about yourself. And it's just, what's the, you know, as opposed to if you have a set thing, especially it's helpful to have a chavrusa for this. It doesn't have to be, but a chavrusa is helpful because you, so to speak, accountable to each other. So you have a chavrusa and you know that you have to make up a really good excuse in order to cancel on the guy. You're going to say, well, you're going to cancel. Why? Because, I have to surf the internet. So you're going to have to at least make that sound better. I have stuff to take care of, or whatever else it is that you just kind of say the vague thing, which means I have to surf the internet, or whatever. But no, I'm just saying, it's like, if you have a chavrusa, it was like a good chavrusa, maybe give you our time a little bit. What do you mean? Why exactly? This is what we do. And you're letting him down. There's a time. He has this on his schedule. You have it on your schedule. You have a time. This is what you do. So-and-so time. And there's a little bit of a pressure, but the pressure, like, it just makes it that it's not really just a free, you know, it's not just up in the air, free, maybe I will, maybe I won't every day. It's like you make a decision, that this is what you want, and then you do it, and then you gotta really, look, there are decisions when there's something that comes up, then you have to decide, is it important? And I'm not saying there's never anything worthwhile to come up. I mean, there are other things in life that sometimes take precedence, you know, but the default, I'm saying is the default should be, this is what you do. at night, this is what it is. Just whatever the time is. Again, different people have different things, different schedules, different things. I'm not saying every guy is going to learn, whatever. Maybe for you, you can't learn every night. You learn 2 nights a week. You learn, whatever. That's a different discussion, how much a person should be learning. But I'm saying is a person just sit back, think what's reasonable for him and his life, and set it up and make it a thing. And why does he have to rethink it every single day in the heat of the moment? When he's busy doing whatever it is he's doing and he has to stop, is he in a good state of mind to make a thought out decision at that point, as opposed to sit down one day and make a thought decision, how would I want my life to be, and therefore I'll set up a schedule which allows for me to pursue that life. Yeah, another point is that, see, I think that, and this is the point, there's always thinking something like this, but I mean, it depends on the guys. It depends who you are. It depends on where you want to be in learning. But to really be Koneh Torah, okay, to learn how to learn, to really make learning part of your life, it takes, like with anything in your life, it really takes time and energy and continuity and learn, like a lot of just energy and really learning how to learn. Let's say in terms of how to become a lama. Just to learn how to learn sugya, for instance. So it's hard. It's not, I mean, you can't do it by just sitting back in a passive type of a way. It takes hours and hours and hours and days and months and weeks and years. It's a process, and it demands a continuity, and it demands almost like a passionate devotion to learning how to do it. And it takes a person to constantly be working on it. And that type of a thing, for instance, is to learn how to learn. You could set up a chavrusa, let's say. And if you, there's an idea of a continuity in learning. Okay, just like there's a quality which comes from a continuity in learning. If you have a chavrusa every day, for instance, for an hour or two a day, then you could really build up like a continuity. You could work your way through a sugya. You could devote a certain amount of energy to the sugya. You could really, you know, first of all, develop a good relationship with the chavrusa, and you could work together towards a sugya, and towards really being able to uncover the sugya, and towards picking up skills, and towards, you know, like, the idea is like when you could get your energy into learning in a way which you could do when there's a kfias, could happen, which can't happen in like an aroi, haphazard kind of way. If you learn 2 nights a week, and that means 2 nights a week you decide whether you're going to have your chavrusa, it probably ends up being once a week. Once a week, every day at a time, you're deciding what should we learn. You're trying to remember what we did last time, deciding we should do a different thing, we should do whatever. Like, I remember there was a joke, there was a guy in my year in Israel, there was a guy who'd learn very haphazardly, and like he was always doing like daf beis in a different masechta, you know. It was like a joke. He's like a bucky in daf beis of every single masechta, you know, because like every day it's like a new thing. What are we gonna do? I don't know. Should we do this? Should we do that? I don't know. You know, and like you never really get into anything, and like there is an idea of like you're not gonna learn how to learn by kind of scratching the surface of every little sugya that you're gonna do. You learn how to learn by really being, you know, digging in, and really, you know, picking up sugya, picking up parak, working it through, getting a feel for it. Even like, you know, when you learn, you develop a feel for a sugya. And that comes from time, from energy, from working it through, from really developing svaras, starting off with bad svaras, making them a little bit better, trying to see problems which emerge, and doing that for years and for years and for years. And, you know, like, it's a slow process. But it takes, like, a real, if you really want to grow into your capacity, I mean, again, if you don't care and you don't want to be Talmud Chacham, you don't want to be a Lamed, and you just want to kind of be able to just enjoy a shiur. I'm not saying that, look, some people that's what it's for. Some people that's what they're going to do in learning. They can enjoy a shiur once in a while and whatever, and come to shiur on Shabbos and fine. But I think you guys are capable of, again, every person has to decide for themselves what's their life, and you know. But if you want to really learn how to master Torah and to be able to really be like a gavra of Lamed and a gavra of Torah, you gotta put in like a continuity and a large degree of time and energy to really acquire the skill. It's not something which, like with anything, again, you want to be a doctor, you gotta put in. You know, there's some sort of thing. Was it 10,000 hours or something? You ever hear that? There's something like that, right? Who was that? Was that? Yeah, fine. So he said any expert in any area has 10,000 hours, right? But in learning also, it's like anything. You just can't do it. You can be the smartest guy in the world, and you can listen to great shiurim and whatever, but it takes like a time and energy and continuity. And I just think is those hours, if you have a kvias and a set, you know, schedule, you could do it day in and day out, and you could really grow, and you could really develop. Like, if every day, four nights a week, or whatever it is, you're learning, then that adds up. It adds up to a lot of time and energy involved in learning. If every day it's like a haphazard thing, that's why it's like it's related to the first point of the quantity, but the quantity is a quality which comes from the quantity of the continuity. It allows you to be able to get your head into an area of learning, into a particular sugya and into the parsha of learning how to learn, which comes from the continuity and the amount of the energy, which is, you know, again, it exists on different degrees. A guy could be learning all day. A guy could be learning every night for an hour. A guy could be doing even twice a week. But if it's a fixed thing, there's an idea. When something is fixed and continue with the continuity to it, you can get your head back into it. You just pick up from where you left off. This is what we did. Monday, Wednesday, this is what we do. Last Monday, we did this, Wednesday, we did this. It's like there's an idea of getting back into something and keeping the continuity going, and that helps you, you know, like build on what you previously did. And learning is about you build on your previous steps. And it could be with a chavrusa, it could be with a shir, it could be preparing for a shir and going to a shir, it could be listening to tapes, it could be, I don't know, whatever the case is. I mean, you know, I think, like, I talked about this the other time, I think learning with chavrusa is a big thing. You know, learning your own with chavrusa is a big part of the puzzle. You know, to be able to try to build it, you know, develop the learning. But it doesn't have to be. I mean, this is a different point. And a guy wants to be learning learning how to learn by listening to shiurim. It's going to be the same type of a thing. But still, it's like if it's haphazard, I just think your energy isn't in it in the same type of way. If it's aroi, that's the idea of the word, aroi. It should be keva, not aroi. It's not keva, then it's aroi. Aroi, it's like haphazard. Haphazard, your mind isn't in it in the same way. And if that's the case, you're not gonna really grow. You're not going to develop into it. And I think that's something that a person... And there is something to a person thinking through what they want in their life. And if a person decides that they want to be a Lamdan, they want to be a Talmid Chacham, then to set up a schedule, to set up a plan, it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't just happen. You don't just become like a guy who can learn. You have to decide to really put your energy to it, just like you don't become a doctor. You got to decide when you're in 12th grade that I'm going to study like crazy even throughout college, get good grades, and be able to, otherwise you're not going to make it into medical school. It's just a kind of decision. Certain things, plans in life, you got to make a decision. This is what you want to do, and you got to decide to put your energy to doing it. And if you see that it's a good thing and you want that to be you, then there's an idea of setting up a life and a schedule and your energy, directing your energies in a way towards acquiring that. So I just don't think the haphazard approach lends itself to that type of a growth. Now, maybe that's not you, and that's not what you're interested in. Again, I'm not saying that, and maybe it's not for everybody. I'm not saying everybody is capable of really having a life where they're learning and really devoting a lot of time and energy to learning and mastering. But if that is, you know, then you shouldn't sell yourself short or long. Yeah. And then another point, this is the fourth point, which is related to the third point, is that this is, I think, the point, Rafi, maybe you said, or Jay, I can't remember, but the idea of, like, the Chashivas point is that, yeah, Rafi, is that when you value something, and I think this is the idea of, like, Asei Malachta Taras Chakeva Malachta Arai, is that a person in life, like, has, you could say there's others, but two occupations could be learning and malacha. And in a certain sense, is like, it's you don't really have, you have like one, there's always an idea of like a keva and an araya. Keva means, this is the way I wanted to define it from the, hey, the Rambam says, this is the way the Rambam says it. He says, Amr, Seitam Torah, Iker. Keva means the Iker. The Chol Shar Asakecha Zulaso Tfelim. Your other stuff, secondary. Tfelim and is damin. If you get them, you get them. Vim lo yizdamin, it's a bit of a joke. If you don't, then whatever. It's not the biggest deal. Right? So what does that mean? You don't get a job? Okay, big deal. Right? So what does that mean exactly? But what I wanted to say is that it means that there's an idea of like an ends and a means. Okay? What's your ends in life? Is your ends malacha? Is your ends money? Is your ends fame? Is your ends whatever? Or is your ends Torah? So there could be, the thing it means is that that should be the ikkar. It means that's what's primary. It's primary in your life is Torah. And the means, everything else is like a means towards being able to have a life with Torah. And what does that mean? So it means the particulars is no one particular is essential. Maybe it's to become a doctor. And you try to become a doctor, you know, you do something else. And as a bad so you find a different way to make a living, you find a different way to this, you find a different way. Of course, I mean, you have to somehow be able to support your Torah. But it means that the particulars are means, and there's no particular which is necessary. Then what is necessary is Torah. But everything else is aroi. It means it's like they're set up as a way of trying to set up a life of Torah. So you have to have a job, you have to have a house, you have to have this, you have to have that, whatever the case is. But the decisions in life should center around how are you going to be able to maximize your Torah. So where are you going to live? Should be, well, how can I relax in Torah? Are you going to marry? What, like, whatever, that kind of thing. But there's ideas, like, there's an ikkar, and then other things are tuffle to that. But my point is like, I think it's true, is that when a person is, values something as an ikkar, so they don't do it in a haphazard type of a way. It's just not the haphazard type of an attitude, I think. You know, and I guess what this is what you're saying is self-fulfilling prophecy or the feedback loop or whatever is like, that's the way it devalues the thing in your mind and it causes you to relate to it as just like a haphazard thing. Another thing which I kind of do when I'm in the mood, you know, like a lot of things you can do when you're in the mood, and that's kind of the way you treat it, and that's the way it becomes in your personality, your attachment to Torah. By setting up that type of a plan, I think it's like it affects you and you relate to it in that way. Kind of like the idea of bizei mitzvah. It's like if you're mivazei mitzvah, you just feel it. You relate to it in a certain way, and it impacts you. So I think is that when, if you make it like a fixed thing, there's a chashivas of Torah. Yeah, it's part of your schedule. You don't just cancel a chavrusa because you're not in the mood today. You know, you're tired. Okay, so you're tired. So drink a cup of coffee and whatever. Why, you know, you're going to do that kind of a thing if it's important to you? It's not. It's like, guy has a job. This is a good example. The guy has a job, it means every day he goes to work. 9 to 5, this is his hours. 9 to 6, 8 to 6, whatever it is. The guy doesn't just not go to work one day because he's not in the mood. That's not what a normal person does. A person has a job, there's such a thing as a vacation day or whatever. But generally, that's the way a person's life is. That's keva. Right? So I think the Mishnah saying is make Torah the keva. It means you have a job, you have a schedule, you have a thing, Torah is your thing. And you have a schedule, and you have a chavrusa, or you have a time, you have morning seder. Well, why are you not going? Because you're just not in the mood today, or should have a reason to do it. Otherwise, it's keva. And I think if you relate to Torah as what's important in life, then that's the way you'll relate to it. And if you kind of make it a haphazard, I think it's just the way you treat things which aren't that significant to you. And if it isn't, then fine, you have to think about this. Should it be? And then something to look into. But I'm kind of assuming that it is significant to us. Assuming for both of these guys, it's something which is significant to you. It's just a matter of how you're going to make it a gemal of your life. But I do think it like impacts your personality and your attachment to Torah when you kind of don't set it up as a fixed thing. Because that's just what you do. Things which are important, you set up time for them. And because that's the way you do it. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. Yeah, if you kind of... You know, spend time with your family when I get a chance. Like a businessman spends time with his family when he gets a chance. He doesn't. He ends up not doing it because it's not important to him. So you set up a time, you set up a fixed thing. There's such a thing as something which is important to you. You set up a fixed way that you do it. Otherwise, here's what's interesting. It's like, this is a kind of related to the other point, is that the problem with the when I have time argument is that you never have time. Like that idea, that's part of the problem. It's like the model of I'll learn when I get a chance. It's like there's always something else to do. Always, you know, and if there's always something else to do now when you're a teenager or a little bit older or whatever it is, and when you get married and when you have kids and when you have this and a job, and it's just like life is busy and there's always something else competing for your time. And I think that's part of the problem. It's like you kind of feel I'll learn when I get a chance, but there's almost like probably that guy who learns whenever he enjoys it are like the few times a year where he has nothing else to do. But it's like there's so infrequently in life there's really nothing else to do. So it's like you're just going to always have something else to do. You know, as opposed to saying, this is when I learn. So I learn at so-and-so time, and I there's something else to do. Well, I'll do it later. It's not every time. You don't have to make every single most free moment in your life set aside for learning. I mean, you can have a schedule or whatever, but there should be a time. If you have a seder at 8 o'clock, so you don't say, well, you know, I have to take care of something. So could you take care of it later? Is it mamish? If you have a final tomorrow, is one thing, but in general, that's not the case. So you have something to do, so do it in a time, which isn't, unless you're 24 hours a day allotted to learning or whatever. So do it during a different time. Do it during this. Do it during that. You know, I think that should be like the type of that's kind of the problem with the guy who learns when he has time. Just that's like there's an illusion that there's a lot of times in life where you just have nothing to do. I'll just learn then. But first of all, then you're not in the mood to learn, and then what are you going to do? And I just think it's so infrequent that there's nothing to do. There's always something to do. Yeah. So, that's kind of my point. So, counterpoints? Questions?
I was fire and brimstone.
What?
Fire and brimstone.
Brimstone. Yeah, I mean, it's probably, you know, I don't know, maybe it's obvious, these points. I don't know if it's like, the one point I thought was insightful, which is like somewhat of a chiddush, is that psychological point, is like that part about the hard part of learning is the, you know, starting. And I think you do, and the decision to learn. It's like hard to decide to do it. And by setting up a kavua thing, you don't have to decide it every time. You can think it through once and make a decision. This is like you said with the waking up thing. Like that exact type of a thing. You don't have to, like, every day have the stress of deciding whether I should wake up or whether I shouldn't wake up. It's hard. Stressful, as opposed to you just decide that's what you're going to do. But why do you decide that? Because it makes sense. That's what you want to do. If you don't want to, you don't want to. But if you, in general, I think the premise we're talking about is a guy who does want to learn, and he does want to learn to be part of his life. Now the question is, how should you do it? So I think that's like an interesting point.
Where's that Mishnah, by the way?
Oh, that's it, Iker? It's, Keva. It's Avos Aleph Yadal.
I think Rabbi Yonah says that exact point.
That's true. I mean, Sarah's making a point. It's like, I'm kind of assuming here that learning is different. Learning is important to you. That learning is the ikar. I'm assuming that intellectually a person sees that learning is important and it's what he wants his life to be built around. And now just the question is how should you implement your day-to-day scheduling, so to speak. What's the plan of, you know, how you should relate to it? But I guess there's a different philosophical discussion about, which may precede this one, is why is it that learning is important and why should I care to learn? But kind of the premise of both of my guys are guys who philosophically see the importance of learning, but just one guy feels like I'll be a lishmanic and I'll just learn when I'm in the mood to and whatever. And the other guy says, no, I'm going to make a schedule. See, but both of those guys see the value. The premise is not that they have a different valuation of learning. It's they have a different plan, idea of what's the proper way to implement learning in their life. You know? And we often feel that type of a thing. I'm not a kid. I don't need a schedule. But, you know, we are kids. Our emotions are kids. And there's an idea. A person has to be realistic with their emotions and not just set up losing battles for themselves. It's to work out a way that they could be smart with themselves and be able to... you know, set up, that's what I think is like, maybe you'd say is that guy, that other guy, that idea is like, a guy, every time he learns will be Lashma. So like, I doubt it, first of all. And I have to think through why, but I don't really buy it. But even if so, is like, my point before is that there's a quantity of learning. The way you really become Lashma is by learning. And this is what Rabbi Zimmer's other share about. The way you become Lashma is by learning how to learn and learning what learning's about and experiencing learning and enjoying learning. You know, the more you're good at it, the more you're able to really appreciate the depths of the learning and the ideas. And you can't do that with, you can't get to be able to learn really like that without putting in lots of time and energy. And if you're just going to learn when you're in the mood to do it, you're going to walk out, you're going to wake up 5-6 years down the line, you're going to have a job and you're not going to know how to learn. Can enjoy it, and it's not going to be lishma, and it's going to be a big challenge, and you're never going to be able to learn because you never really put in the time that's necessary to learn how to do it. So it takes a lot of time and energy, and the plan of I'll just be lishma, I mean, it's a nice theory, I just don't think it works. It's just not, learning isn't the kind of thing you could learn how to do by doing it in your haphazard a few minutes a day, if you, you know, whenever you're in the mood kind of thing. It's just not that kind of thing, and you should be aware of that. If you don't care and you're not interested in that being part of your life, then so be it. That's the decision you have to make. But the premise I'm starting with is that you think it is an important part of your life. So, you know, but you're right. It definitely is a different discussion. An important one is why should it be? And I'm not really proving that or whatever. I'm kind of taking that as a given.
Because like that guy, I'm thinking about it now, that guy that you set up the first model doesn't, because of this, doesn't really, I don't think, exists. Because
well,
no one just
I don't know.
Or just say like, oh yeah, I'd love to do this.
I don't know. I think there's a guy who, so to speak, let's say a guy who's like enlightened by philosophy and he's moved by seeing truth and he loves knowledge. And he's like this, the guy who likes to talk about in like a, you know, excited way about philosophy and ideas and that type of a thing. But he doesn't want to have a schedule, and he wants to, like, he loves to learn. Sometimes Shir is awesome and his beauty is beautiful. But he also doesn't want the idea, like he has maybe bad associations to high school rabbis forcing him to learn or something like that. And he doesn't want to make a schedule and he doesn't want whatever. So there's a model of, he's a philosopher. He's a philosopher. A philosopher doesn't want a schedule. A philosopher wants to be free. And he's a philosopher. And don't tell me that I have to learn at whatever time I want to be able to do. I'm a free guy, and I learn Lashma, and I'm a big, you know. There's definitely an idea like that. I think he exists, certainly. You know, but that guy is a philosopher, and that's all he'll be. He'll just be a philosopher his whole life. And he doesn't really grow into a guy who really knows how to learn, because he's busy philosophizing. You know, it just takes, like, that idea is like, it's a nice start, but I'm saying at a certain point, I think a guy has to, like, you know, buckle down, so to speak, and but not in a way which is negative. I mean, yeah, in school you're forced to do what you don't enjoy and you're whatever, but I mean, it's fun and it's enjoyable. That's the thing, is you just get yourself to do it, you'll end up enjoying it. It's not, you know, that's, I'm assuming that's we know that's what we're talking about. I'm not force you to do something you don't like. I'm saying force you to get over the 1 minute of pain, and then it's like the guy who jumps in the pool in a second and the guy who spends a half hour, you know, painfully going into the pool, painfully, 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 and then enjoy swimming for 1 minute. The other guy is enjoying swimming for 31 minutes. He just has a second of pain. The other guy is like slowly, 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 you know. It's like, you know, you got to get over it and go for it. You know. But if you can't, you can't.